Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by View the Matadors. You are on once again with your boy, I'll be sure. Back like I never left, which I really didn't. I was on the last podcast, if you were listening. And who am I with? My right-hand man, Dylan Smythe. What's up, Dill?
Yo, just, man, the amount of Summer League I've been watching is insane. I'm ready to get some of this knowledge out of my brain.
Summer League action, it is on and popping. And for like the second time in as many years, there's actually a reason as tech fans to watch it. So have you been watching it, Jacob, who's also with us today?
Yeah, I've been watching some little bit here and there just whenever I can. I'm trying to focus in on guys that graduated from tech like most tech fans would, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we can finally treat NBA like rookie seasons like we do with the NFL. Like in the NFL, usually you're good for a few tech players, at least one or two, that are going through like rookie minicamp, going through training camp, seeing if they're going to make teams, how they're doing in preseason, stuff like that. And so it's kind of fun to finally get to do that on the NBA side of things, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love the NBA. Like, I love basketball as a sport. And so, like, as a tech fan, it's always disappointing that we don't have much to talk about in the NBA landscape, but we do now.
Yeah, that's the fun part. That's the fun part of things. So let's start off with some tech guys. So the first one I want to talk about is a guy who was drafted last year in 2018. Didn't see much playing time because of his injury. He fell adverse to the Sixers curse, but he's back. Zaire Smith lighting up the charts. Jacob, what have you seen from Zaire?
Unbelievable athleticism, which is, you know, what we all kind of expected out of him. You know, a lot of people didn't really know what to expect him coming off that injury, but that dude's lethal off transition, man. Like, you put him in the open court with guys like Ben Simmons going into this next season, man, the Sixers are going to be pretty tough to beat.
Here's what's most impressive to me about Zaire. Yes, he did go in. He got drafted. No, they knew he had that foot injury, and the Philly foot fracture is what we coined it. But what's really impressive is he went through more his rookie season. He had an allergic reaction. I think he said he lost like 25 pounds. Like, the dude battled adversity, and now he's come back in summer league, and it looks like nothing's changed. It looks like he's back to where he was when he left Texas Tech and better. The dude, he should probably be running point for the Sixers next season. But
I would say the biggest surprise is his offensive game has already taken a jump, right? In this summer league. And that's one thing that's really good about summer league is you get to see things that you wouldn't normally see during the regular season. Like, I don't know how much offense we're going to see from him in the regular season. But because of what he's doing in the summer league, you at least know he has it in his bags. So when you're a coach for the 76ers, you can say, I remember in summer and even in training camp, I remember he's able to do this. He's able to push the ball up the court, which he wasn't really able to do at Tech as well. He's able to push the ball up the court. He's able to make good, smart passes. He's able to do this, that, and the other. These are things that we didn't think of him doing beforehand, but he's already added that to his game. And right now, he's the second leading scorer on the 76ers Summer League team. Guess who's the leading scorer on that team?
Is it Mariel Shayok?
It is Mariel Shayok.
Yeah, he's been pretty impressive. But one last thing on Zaire before we go talk about some other player. His shooting has improved, and that was his biggest knock getting drafted, is he wasn't a great three-point shooter. He's shooting 48% from summer league, not from downtown, but 48% overall, and he's shooting it from downtown. But yeah, Mariel Shayok's looking pretty good too.
Yeah, and I will say this with Zaire, and he's never really had a hitch in a shot like Culver does, or, you know, the elongated motion like Keenan Evan does. But Zaire's shot is also, I think, sped up a little bit. It's quick. Like, it's out of his hands very quickly when he gets the ball, which is very important when it comes to the regular season, getting the ball out of your hands quick. So another guy that was drafted – well, he wasn't drafted, but he came out in 2018. Keenan Evans trying to find his way onto a team. He's right now on the Grizzlies Summer League roster. First game didn't really play much, but he kind of showed out in his second game. Did you watch it, Dylan?
Yeah, I've watched. Actually, it's funny. I didn't watch the first one. I watched the next two. So when I'm watching, he's playing well. Yeah, like, he's scoring double figures points. He's getting assists and rebounds on the board. He's filling out the stat sheet. And when you look at their summer league roster, it's not particularly talented. So he's kind of standing out.
No love for Bruno Caboclo?
I mean, you know my guy's Dusty Hannah's, but Anyways, he's showing out. He's making a good case. I don't think he'll get a roster spot, but I think they'll keep him around. They'll keep him in the program just to let him develop even more.
Well, so here's my thing with Keenan is he's a bucket getter, right? And so the ability to get your own bucket is what gives him what will keep him around. He's always going to be kind of around because even in summer league, you're kind of seeing it. When Memphis needs a bucket, they kind of go to Keenan at times. 5 seconds left on the shot clock. Here you go, Keenan. He's able to get a bucket. All right, now, he does have some flaws to his game, I think, offensively that don't necessarily translate to the NBA, like the fact that his shooting motion is extremely, excruciatingly slow. Yeah. And he's not really that athletic, so he looks slow when he's playing. But he gets points in the lane. He's smarter than almost everybody on the court when it comes offensively. So I think that's one thing that's definitely going to help him.
I think one big thing that he's done this summer is he's been able to shoot the three ball really well.
Yeah.
And I think that gives him more lanes to do what he does best and get to the rim and get points in the paint, stuff like that.
Yeah, now if only he could do it quicker.
Yeah. That's one of the things he needs to work on. But like I think he'll stay around because he's able to knock down, you know, shots from pretty much anywhere on the floor. So they're going to have to guard him closer, which will give him, you know, the ability to go in the paint and, you know, dish or shoot, stuff like that.
Yeah. So next up, we do want to talk about some of the guys that have been on summer league. The guy who's impressed me the most so far has been Matt Mooney with the Atlanta Hawks summer league team. He had a saucy step back the other day, behind the back, step back to a mid-range jumper. It was nice. You been watching him, Jacob?
Yeah, I have, and I hate to disagree with you because I love Matt Mooney. You know, he had a couple of good moves, but the dude's only shooting 28% from the floor. Like,
I will say that's true. I'll say this: Mooney's done what we've known him to do, which is, if you heard me on this podcast many times, to say that he is a very streaky and overrated shooter, which he's shown in summer league. But he's been the Hawks' best defender. Locked up.
He's averaging two steals a game. Also, you know, almost four assists and three rebounds. I'm not saying that he's not being a great player for, you know, the summer league team, because he is. He's averaging 25 minutes a game. His offensive numbers just need to go up a little bit for me if I think he's going to make a roster spot.
You want to talk mess about Mooney, Dylan?
Yes and no. So, like, it's really funny to me that you say that, you of all people say that, like, he's the guy who's impressed you the most this offseason. No, it's like, it's Zaire Smith. However,
here's the deal. I have a very low bar for Matt Mooney, and I have a much higher bar for Zaire. That's okay.
Well, so now it makes a little more sense to me, because I remember going into March Madness and I was like, dude, Matt Mooney's a baller. And you're like, Dylan, you're drunk. Shut up. But Matt Mooney is a baller. It's kind of discouraging. He is playing big minutes, which I really like, because I think in the summer league, you're only giving big minutes to guys you really want to get a good look at. So that's encouraging. Yeah. But the shooting percentage is a little discouraging. However, like you said, Albie, he has a set of moves and he's showing them.
Yeah. I mean, so I think the thing with Mooney is that when you look, okay, and the thing with Mooney is that you expect him to be a knockdown shooter, right? And when you look at the guy, you think, man, this guy can really get a bucket just by being a knockdown shooter. And the thing about it is that I think Mooney, and this is something that I realized even when he was at Tech, he's still a good shooter when he's open, like everybody is, but he's not as good of a shooter when it comes to contested shots. Now, the reason I think he's getting so many minutes is for a couple of reasons. One, he's a very good defender on the wing. He's, I think, the Hawks' best perimeter defender in the summer league right now. And he's doing everything the coach needs him to do. The number two reason is that I agree with you, Dylan, in the fact that they really want a good look at this guy. Like, I think they've gotten to the point where they're like, we don't know whether we want to sign you to a two-way or not. We really need to get an extended look at you to see if it's worth it.
And that's opportunity right there. And that's something I really hope Matt Mooney can cash in on.
Man, this is really surprising coming from you, Albie, after all the things you said about Matt Mooney during the season.
Well, yeah, because he's not on my team.
Calling him our fourth best perimeter defender.
He's not
blasphemous, Albie. Blasphemous.
Blasphemy.
Well, okay, that's because for one.
And then he goes and says he's the best defender on this Hawks.
On the Hawks, yeah, because the Hawks.
I'm glad you're finally coming around.
No. Okay, first of all, I'm not coming around. One, the Hawks are a terrible defensive team. He happens to be the best one on there. Tech was a very good defensive team, so he was fourth best defensive player on ours. All right, that's what I mean. All right, first of all, before y'all gang up on me, okay? But no, I'm just – Matt Mooney, I'll say this. Matt Mooney really impressed me with some of his offensive moves that I didn't think he had in his bag. He has – I think he's actually been a better defender this summer league going up against better players than he did at Tech last year. So I just think Matt Mooney has improved. I think the main thing he hasn't improved on is the fact that he can't shoot when he contested shots. And so I think that's his biggest thing, his biggest problem he had at Tech that he hasn't really improved on here is him shooting in contested shots. But I think for Mooney and a lot of guys like him, even if Mooney doesn't get the 2-way with the Hawks, every single team is looking at you while you play in Vegas. Right, like you may do one thing, and another team, every NBA and G League team are looking at you to see whether they want to add you on the roster, and so that's what's really important.
Well, not only that, I really respect Fran Fraschilla. I like him. He was calling a game the other day, and he was like, "There's a handful of international scouts here too." So worst case scenario, if the G League doesn't offer enough money, Matt Mooney can go make better money overseas. If he wants to.
Okay, I do want to say this because I'm going to touch upon a guy here in a little bit. I do want to say this. Players that – if you want to go to the NBA, you got to go to the G League. Like that's – and I've heard this argument a few times of players that have skipped out on the G League to go overseas. But the fact of the matter is that NBA teams are lazy and they like grabbing low-hanging fruit. So if you want to go to the NBA, you need to go to the G League. Will you make more money overseas? Of course. But what are you trying to do is what I think people need to ask themselves. So speaking of that, what are you trying to do? A guy that's going to probably be in the G League quite a bit this year, but we have not even seen him in Summer League, and that is Tariq Owens with the Suns right now. Not playing in the G League because he's still rehabbing from his injury. But what do you expect to see out of Tariq Owens really this year, Dylan?
It's hard to say because it's been pretty quiet in his camp, but he's in Vegas. He's with the team just like soaking it in, trying to figure out what his place is. But in my opinion, I said this in the last podcast, if they're on board with bringing him on already, knowing he's not going to play in Summer League, it means they like him a lot. Their roster, their forwards and centers are not great. So I think there's opportunity for Tariq Owens, and I love the kid. I just think he's heart and hustle and everything good about basketball. Tariq Owens embodies it, and he will get his shot. And Tariq Owens is one of my favorite Red Raiders of all time. And he was only there for a year.
Of all time.
And he was there for a year.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was there for a year.
You young whippersnappers.
No.
I'll tell you.
I'll stand by my grave. Tariq Owens is one of my favorite Texas Tech people of all time, and I really hope the kid gets a shot.
Tony Battee is rolling in his grave.
Even though he's not dead.
I was about to say he ain't dead, but.
Hey, man.
Look, I think Tariq probably had the best moment of the season whenever he Stone Cold Steve Austin style just kind of came running out of the locker room after he pretty much broke his ankle. But you know, I think I agree with Dylan. I think he has a good shot to make this team, just because you know they don't really have anybody beyond DeAndre Ayton. Like, who they gonna put out there? You know, might as well be this guy that can shoot mid-range a little bit, really good rim protector. I mean, why not?
Well, yeah, and I think it seemed like they wanted to sign him as their backup center of the future, you know, pairing him with DeAndre Ayton. Plus, he's older, right? So he's going to come – DeAndre Ayton's just going to be 20 coming into the season.
Yeah.
To where Tariq Owens will be 24?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, 24 coming into the season. And you're right. I mean, this Suns roster – does not have many big men. So I think Aaron Baines is going to be the starting center or the backup center next year. And so that, I think that he's only like a 1 or 2 year contract. That's nothing. So I think one thing that's different between Tariq Owens as opposed to Keenan Evans last year, because you remember Keenan Evans also signed a 2-way with Detroit. And I think the difference there is that it took a while, right? Like it wasn't with Keenan Evans. Initially he was, and I can't remember the team exactly, but initially he was signed to a summer league roster. And he was bought out from that summer league roster to the Pistons as a two-way player. But that was also almost a month after the draft that all that occurred. Tariq Owens was signed that night. he was on the phone. His agent was on the phone with teams that night. He was one of the priority undrafted free agents, which leads me to believe that this is a guy that the Suns went after. They wanted him on the team, as opposed to Keenan Evans being kind of the guy the Pistons were like, oh, we got a second spot. Let's get to that Evans kid. Because as you saw, as the season went on, they were like, you know what? Never mind. Let's drop him. And that's the thing is you how valuable is Owens? And I think he is valuable. I kind of agree with the fact that his rim protection, we'll see how good his offensive game gets, but his rim protection, I think, is what's really going to be beneficial, especially considering that DeAndre Ayton can't defend.
Well, and his shooting was picking up at the tail end of the season. Like, you started seeing him step out and make mid-range and threes. And if he can do that in the NBA, he's got a great future as a stretch four.
I really don't think he's going to be asked to do that, to be honest. I think his role is literally going to be just make sure people don't get the ball in the basket, right? Just be a rim protector. I really don't think he's going to be needed.
Catch lobs and shots.
Be Clint Capella, be old Tyson Chandler, just be that type of player. Put weight on you. That's going to be the big thing he's going to need to do is bulk up a little bit. And I'm not talking about I'm not talking about like cryogenics like we do at Tech. I'm talking about legitimately bulk up. I'm not really even looking at his offensive game. I think the fact that the Suns have a guy like Ayton who's not a good defender but a really good offensive center, I think it explains why Baines is their backup now, right? Like, Baines is a good defender, bad offensive player. Owens, I'm not calling Owens a bad offensive player, but I think they want him for his defense more than anything.
Yeah.
So, and last but not least, another guy that has not played in the summer league. I know y'all wanted us to talk about him, so we're going to talk about him. Jarrett Culver, number 23 for the Timberwolves. Either of y'all got your Culver jerseys yet?
If I did, it'd be the green one. I love that jersey.
Oh, so do I. That's a great one.
I'd get that green one in a heartbeat. And I just saw them tweeting it out, like, it's for sale. I might have to cop me a green Timberwolves Culver jersey. Number 23, by the way.
Gotta get you that nice little Culver jersey. Blue one's nice too, though. I gotta say, the blue one's nice too. I do like the new T-Wolves jerseys in general. Like, I didn't really like the last one, but their new ones, the stripe design is really nice.
The T-Wolves rebrand in general was great.
I agree with that.
Definitely.
And so, but Culver, what do y'all think about this? So Culver has not played in the summer league. Nothing wrong with him. It's not like Owens to where he's been hurt. There's nothing wrong with Culver. They just feel he's a top 10 draft pick. There's no need to play him. You know, he's going to have a starting spot. So he's not playing the summer league. What do y'all think about that? Dylan, I'll let you go first.
Well, if you check my Twitter feed, you'd see my feelings on this. I kind of got in an argument about it. I wasn't trying to argue with the guy. But anyways, I think, A, like Jacob said pre-pod, the summer league kind of got moved back. And because it got moved back, some of these guys are signing their deals or the trades aren't completed and summer league has already started. So they really didn't have Jarrett Culver like in the building until summer league started. Until summer league started. So, and I'm with you, you know, if he's a top 10 pick, he's obviously got a roster spot. And I think summer league has changed to where you're giving guys who you don't know if they're going to have a roster spot opportunities like Matt Mooney. So if you know Jarrett Culver's got a roster spot, he hasn't played, and this is a rumor, I can't confirm this, but he hasn't played an organized game of 5-on-5 since the national championship game, then yeah, be cautious with the guy. It sucks. I want to see him play too, but, you know, you got to do what's best for Jarrett Culver.
I'll agree with you, and I'll say this. In this era of basketball where, you know, superstars like Kawhi and LeBron are taking games off for rest, if you think he's ready to go and he'll be ready for training camp and he'll be in the shape that he needs to be. And I think a lot of what this is that Chris Beard and that staff here in Lubbock, I think they instilled a professional mindset in him to where he doesn't need someone like it looks like, you know, Zion Williamson kind of needs someone to show him, you know, this is how you train. This is how you eat.
This is how you eat.
This is
one too many pots of gumbo.
This is how you not eat too much gumbo.
If you're going to eat gumbo, put chicken in it.
Yeah.
Not as much sausage.
Yeah. But I know that's the thing. I think Culver came in and they're like, man, this guy's, you know, he got a professional mindset. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he needs to do to prepare his body. why risk hurting him whenever, you know, he's kind of, you know, ahead of the curve in that kind of, in that aspect. You know, he's going to show up to training camp on, you know, in shape, you know, body right, mind right. Why risk getting him hurt in the summer league if you think he's going to be fine?
So one thing is that apparently Adam Silver is going to reevaluate those draft day trades as far as not having it finalized so late. So we may not see something like a situation like that happen anymore. So the way I look at it, there's two ways I kind of look at it. So selfishly, I want him to play. Like back in the day, you remember, like when LeBron and D-Wade and all those guys were playing, everybody, every rookie, really this is all the way up to maybe like a year or two ago, every rookie played. It didn't matter if you were picked first or 60th, you played in the summer league. And every second year, or not every second year guy, but the majority of second year guys played at least a game, right? The only guy that really never didn't play this any summer league was probably the rookie of the year, right? But everybody else played in the summer league. Nowadays, you're seeing the fact that, like y'all both said, if you have a roster spot, you're not playing. So selfishly, I wish all these stars were playing. I wish Zion was playing. I wish Culver was playing. I wish John Morant was playing. I wish all these guys were playing Celtics. I want to see them in action already, right? But if you're the Pelicans, what's the point of playing Zion right now? Like, there's no point to it. If you're the Grizzlies, no point in playing Morant. If you're the T-Wolves, no point in playing Culver. Now, I will say one thing I do like is the fact that Culver seems to already be working out with Andrew Wiggins. He seems to already be working out with Karl Anthony. Well, he seems to already be working out with Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know if working out with Wiggins is necessarily a good thing or not. But but he's already working out with the quote-unquote franchise players of the team. And so that kind of shows you what high regard the Timberwolves have for Jared Culver. And I do think it's more beneficial for him to work out with those guys and practice with those guys as opposed to practicing with guys that will likely not even be on the team.
Yeah, 100% agree. And the last thing I wanted to say is, like, we're having this discussion, like, it's risk versus reward, basically. Like, yes, every one of these players could probably benefit from playing in some of these games. However, there's a risk involved, and you saw it with Zion. Zion played the first game for the Pelicans. Very surprising. He looked like a beast. He bumped his knee on somebody, and the Pelicans are like, nope, shut it down. So there's one school of thought there, and then you go look at the Knicks. The Knicks are playing Mitch Robinson, Lonzo Trier, like second-year young dudes. Like, the Knicks and R.J. Barrett. The number three pick overall, and RJ Barrett's playing a big stinker. But
he looks terrible.
Yes, he does. And you called that a long time ago. But yeah. NBA teams are having this discussion too, is my point. Like, yeah, we're not the only ones trying to figure this out. NBA teams are having discussions, and different teams are leaning different ways.
Well, see, but here's the thing. So I actually think them playing Mitchell Robinson and Alonzo Trier is a good thing because these are guys that need more reps, need more repetitions, need more live action. Now, I think playing R.J. Barrett's a bad thing, and the reason I think it's a bad thing is because now thoughts are being made about R.J. before he ever steps court on the Knicks. The Knicks were excited to get R.J. Barrett, right? Like, they knew what it was. They knew he was the number 1-3 pick. They knew even though they missed out on Zion, they got R.J. Barrett. They were happy with that, right? And then now Knicks fans are already like, ah, damn it, we got another bust. Like, he's played 3 games. Now, has he played terribly? Yes. Do I think he'll continue to play terribly? Probably. But we didn't. You wouldn't have known that up until October.
True.
And so there's the problem. There's another wrinkle to the fold of risk versus reward.
RJ Barrett's confidence is getting shaken right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He shot something like 50% from free throw line. In this summer league, like that, or 60 or something. Like that. It was bad. So I was watching it last night.
He's shooting 30% from the field.
But so the dude's not shooting very well.
Less than one of three.
He did have a pretty good game. I think it was a couple nights ago. I think he had 20 something and 10 rebounds. But man, his shot just does not look good.
Oh, another guy who's actually playing, which I don't really see why he's playing for the Knicks, but Kevin Knox. Knox also looks good.
Yeah, Kevin Knox, right? That's another player. Like, all their young guys are playing.
Yeah.
So it's real thought. So, like, the Knicks, for example, are playing everybody, right? They're playing. They're saying – but I think the difference with the Knicks is everybody on their team is young.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense for them to say, look, we're going to play everybody so y'all can get more continuity, right? Y'all can play with each other. Y'all can do this, that, and the other. That's why I don't think it would have hurt John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.
John Morant's hurt.
Oh, you're right.
He had surgery in the offseason.
Yeah, right. Jaws hurt.
But I'm just saying, with the Knicks, getting all those young guys, because you want them. The main argument I had for Culver was the fact he's playing with the franchise players. All the franchise players for the Knicks are young. Kevin Knox, Lonzo Trier, RJ Barrett are young. So they're all playing with each other right now. So that also works as well.
You know, it's funny. So, if I'm the Knicks, I draw the line at Kevin Knox. He's the one guy who doesn't play for me. He got enough minutes and showed enough last season.
I kind of agree with that, but at the same time, if you're
going to
play everybody else, you might as well.
But I'll say, I like what the Knicks are doing. They're trying to build that teamwork and continuity and stuff like that. So why not play Kevin Knox if you're going to play RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson and Alonzo Trier, all those guys?
If you're going to play RJ Barrett, you might as well play Kevin Knox.
Well, and that's a counterpoint to what Albie said earlier. Like, Culver's not playing with the guys who he's going to be playing with next season he's playing in the summer league. However, these Knicks guys are playing with guys on the roster.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the starting lineup for the Knicks will play for the Knicks.
Yeah. Right. They all have roster spots.
They all have roster spots. So that's the benefit there. So let's talk about some guys, whether they will or will not make the roster. So we already know Culver's going to be on the roster. And we already know Zaire Smith's going to be on the roster for the 76ers. But let's start with Keenan Evans. Keenan Evans right now, he is on the Grizzly Summer League team, like we talked about. So I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to start with you, Dylan. Will Keenan Evans make an NBA roster come October as a two-way player? Because let's face it, it likely won't be a one-way. So as a two-way player, and if so, will it be with the Grizzlies? If not the Grizzlies, who?
You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the Grizzlies depth chart. Right now it says Dalen Wright. I know he's not there anymore.
My Mavericks.
So that would mean their backup point is Javon Carter. And I think Javon Carter and Keenan Evans are pretty comparable. Like, they're comparable players. Well, they both play defense.
Don't forget, Javon Carter just got traded.
Oh, Javon Carter got traded. Wow.
Yes.
This depth chart is totally wrong.
Yeah, so here's
when did he get traded?
He got traded last week for Josh Jackson.
Oh, he was in the Josh Jackson trade.
Yeah, so he was okay. So here's what it's looking at as of right now. You're gonna have Ja Morant, and they just signed Tyus Jones
and Grayson Allen.
And Grayson Allen. I don't see Grayson Allen playing point guard.
I know.
So.
He was a decent point in Utah last year, actually.
Yeah.
So here's the argument I'm trying to make. Their point guard, they're thin at point guard. So bodes well for Keenan Evans. However, I hate to say it, but I really think Keenan Evans is going to spend another year in the G League.
What say you, Jacob?
I think he'll get a two-way with the Grizzlies.
You think he'll get a two-way with the Grizzlies? You're confident, confident in that?
I'm confident.
He had a two-way last year.
He had a two-way last year. He looks a lot better. Like Dylan said, they're really kind of thin at point guard. Why not spend one of your two-way contracts on a guy that you think's gonna be able to do something if, you know, John Morant's injury is lingering, or if, you know, Tyus Jones gets hurt, something like that. You know, why not go to a guy who's, you know, averaging, you know, 13 points a game for you in your summer league? He's able to hit shots. I think Keenan Evans will get a two-way with the Grizzlies.
Is there a limit on how many two-ways does a team get?
You get two per team.
Okay, so that's interesting to think of. You got to look at Albie's guy, Bruno Caboclo. He figures to maybe get a two-way. Do what?
Caboclo.
Whatever. Caboclo. Whatever. He figures to get a two-way. Dusty Hanna's had a two-way last year.
And no, Dusty Hanna's had a 10-day contract.
Oh, okay. They pulled him up. He was playing for the Memphis Hustle.
Yes, they pulled him up for 10 days, and then he went back down.
So there's a little competition for that two-way spot, but I think Keenan can get it.
Yeah, I think he can too. So just based on the way he's playing.
Well, so here's the deal. So right now the Grizzlies have already signed one guy to a two-way, which is Yuta Watanabe. He right now is one of their That's actually John Konkar. He's actually the two-way guy. Watanabe was last year's two-way player.
Yeah.
So John Konkar is currently their one two-way player, right? So question is, so they only have one two-way spot available. Do you still believe, Jacob, that the other two-way guy is going to be Keenan Evans? Now that new information has unfolded.
Yes.
There you have it, folks. That is a
yes.
Jacob Harris guarantee.
Look, it's just that you're solid because you're with the Grizzlies, but you have guys at other spots that can play. Point guard is one of your spots, along with shooting guard, which is probably why they signed Conker to the other two-way spot. That you need someone, not necessarily to block John Morant's development, which is part of the reason why it'd be a two-way. Keenan would probably play the majority of the year in the G League still, but he would have the ability to come up if John Morant or Tyus Jones got hurt, and I still think that he's that guy.
Hey man, I respect that. You Keenan Evans Hive member, Jacob Harris. Right there. Keenan Evans ain't getting no damn two-way contract. Let me tell you something. So Keenan Evans, I don't see it. I don't see him getting a two-way contract. I think Dusty will probably get it before Keenan does. And who knows? Maybe Jaws homeboy Shaq Buchanan gets it before Keenan does. But I don't see Keenan as an NBA player. And I've talked about this for a while now. For 2 years, I've been talking about that. I do not see Keenan Evans as an NBA player. When he signed that two-way last year, I was surprised that he got it, to be honest. And then he got cut. I don't even think he played it. I think he was on the bench for a few Pistons games. Now, I will say in the G League, he's played well. He's played well in the G League. Yes. That's his spot. That's where I think it wouldn't shock me to see Keenan Evans have a 10-year career in the G League. Like, that's how much I think that he is a tweener, like a really good player in a league right below the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to go back to the G League. I think that maybe he's going to be for the Memphis Hustle. Maybe he goes back to Delaware to play. That's where he was at last year. And I think that – but I don't see him as an NBA player. And like Dylan said pre-pod, the second year is really the year that if you don't get it your second year, it's really tough to make it on a team after that. And so, I think Keenan is probably stuck in the G League for this year, probably the next year. And then after that, he'll wise up and go to Europe where he can actually make some money.
It's encouraging that he's on one of the least talented rosters in the NBA, though.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, sure. But at the same time, if he can't make this team.
Well, yeah, it's a good counter-argument.
Yeah, like, if you can't make this team, a very low-talented team with a need at his position, mm-hmm. if you can't make this team, he's probably never going to do it. So,
yeah.
Especially with after the – I think the high schoolers are going to start coming to the NBA in two years. Yeah. Sorry, bud. So, next up, we got y'all's boy, and maybe my boy for the summer league, Matt Mooney. Will he make an NBA roster? Jacob, I'll let you go first.
I don't think he will. I think he'll play G League this year. He's real crafty, real smooth. I think he needs to work on his athleticism just a little bit. And work on his jump shot. Defensively, the man's there. Offensively, that's where he needs to work, and I think that's why he probably won't get a two-way contract this year. I think he'll play really well in the G League. Probably won't stuff the stat sheet like, some others will, but I think he'll be the best perimeter defender on that Atlanta Hawks G League team.
I mean, he is the best perimeter defender on that Hawks G League team, but that team is really young and really talented. For young players, so I don't think he makes the Hawks roster. I don't think he makes another roster. I think he spends a year in G League, and we'll see next year whether or not he makes a team. Like you said that I said, the second year is when you see if a guy makes it. I think Matt Mooney needs a year in G League to see if he's going to make it in the NBA.
Interesting. So no love for Matt Mooney. It almost makes me want to say he's going to get a two-way contract. Almost. But I agree with y'all. He's not going to get one. I do think that there's going to be conversations about giving it to him, though. Like, I do think that I think he has a better chance of getting one than Keenan Evans does, actually.
I think he'll be in training camp with an Exhibit 10 contract.
Yeah, I actually think so, too. I think he'll be in training camp with probably the Hawks, right?
Like, yes, I would imagine.
I do think that he'll be in training camp, probably with the Hawks, and he'll be one of the casualties that gets dropped down to the G League. But I think a good G League season where he improves, especially on the offensive end, as a more of a knockdown shooter, a guy that can shoot with guys in his face, I think that's really what's going to help. And then if he gains a name as just this lockdown guy defensively, who knows? He can get that call up to Atlanta as well. So, yep. But I agree with y'all. Sorry, Mooney. No NBA two-way for you just yet. Maybe who knows? Maybe later on in the season. Two-way contracts get ripped away and given to other people all the time.
Oh, yeah. So
that's another option I could easily see for Mooney is him getting a two-way like in January or February or something like that. So now here's a little curveball for y'all. Tariq Owens has already signed his two-way. Does he keep it? Will he be on the Phoenix Suns roster in July, in June of next year? Dylan.
Yes, absolutely. 100% yes. For the reasons we said before, their roster is not talented at the bigs outside of DeAndre Ayton. I like Aaron Baines. His fan base is incredible. But I think he's got a great shot. And just their confidence in him makes me confident.
Well, do you think that he's going to maybe even get a full-time deal as opposed to a two-way?
I think it starts with a two-way, and we'll see what happens. Like, it really just depends on how he comes back from that ankle.
That's not how this game works, all right? You need to make declarations.
If he comes back healthy, he's making that team.
All right. Jacob, what say you?
Are you ready for my sweeping bold declaration of
the game? There we go. See, Jacob knows the game. What's up, man? What you got?
All right. So, he's got a two-way contract now. I predict that the Phoenix Suns will be so bad by January that he will not only get called up from the G League, but they will sign him for the rest of the season.
Woo!
Aaron Baines is 32 years old. I feel like they're going to trade him by February. Because of his age, just because that's a young team. I feel like Aaron Baines is potentially a filler guy at the backup spot for Tariq Owens. Let him come back from his injury. Let him get back into playing basketball a little bit. With his shot blocking and his, you know, mid-range and outside ability, I think come January, February, I think they're going to straight up sign him for the rest of the year.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about, Jacob. Real affirmations right there. I actually agree more with Jacob than Dylan. I actually think that all of that could definitely happen because the Suns will be that team come trade deadline that are just involved in trade just for the hell of it, right? Like the third team that has no business being in a trade. And so I could easily see them getting rid of Baines that way, kind of like they did with Ariza last year, and letting Owens come on. The only difference is that I don't think Owens will play any NBA games up until that point, which means that he would have enough. I think I can't remember off the top of my head how many games you have to play in the NBA or you can play in the NBA.
I believe it's 40. I believe it's 45.
Is it 45 or 35?
It's 40. You can be on the roster for 45 days, however many games that is.
Okay. For 45 days. So I think that's what's going to happen. I think he will. Up until that point, you know, they will navigate it to where the end of the season will be all his NBA games. So I don't think he'll get it yet, but I think he'll play one season as a two-way the entire year. And then if he impresses, which I think he will, then he'll at the end of the season, he will get a full-time deal. And we will have three NBA players that are former Red Raiders. It'll be great. It'll be absolutely fantastic. So we talked about Evans. We talked about Owens. We talked about Mooney. Now to get to the real guys, the guys that actually make impact in games. All right. Give me some predictions for Zaire Smith in his first full playable season with the 76ers. 76ers are a championship contending team too, right? So Zaire's got a chance. I mean, Zaire almost won a ring this year. Let's talk about that for a second. Zaire almost won a ring this year if Kawhi's balance doesn't go in, right? And so next year he will actually play – will likely be the backup two guard. And actually, he could get some starting spots. I don't really know who's playing two guard for them next year. So how do you think his season's going to go, Dylan?
Well, so you just alluded to it. I don't know who's going to play two guard for them. They got rid of J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick is gone. So I think the kid has a great shot to start. And if he doesn't, he can play backup at three positions. Like, I really think he's perfect for the Sixers. He's perfect for the Sixers. I really think he's going to make his mark this season. You see what he's doing in summer league. Like, all the injury question marks are gone. And that's the biggest knock on the guy. And then the second biggest knock is that he can't shoot consistently. Well, he's doing that too. So this is the year Zaire takes the jump. He's going to be a contributor for the Sixers. He might not start every game, but he will start games for the Sixers this season.
There we go. What about you, Jacob? What do you think?
All right, so I do know who's going to start at shooting guard and who's projected to, at least. It's going to be Josh Richardson, who they got in the Jimmy Butler trade.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think Josh Richardson's going to start come the season. I think it's going to be Zaire. His defensive ability, he's way better defensively than Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they need at the two-guard position. They need someone that's going to be able to go in and lock guys down. I think Zaire will be able to do that. And like I said earlier, I think he might be their second-best transition player behind Ben Simmons. You get two uber athletic guys who can get to the rim in transition. All you got to do is get Joel Embiid to throw a, you know, football pass, and you're off for the races. I think he's going to make a really big impact this year.
And he's a perfect complement for Ben Simmons.
Yes, yes, he is.
So what I'm hearing is that you think Zaire is the second best player on the team.
No, second. Right, second.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Second best in transition.
Is that your declaration? That Zaire Smith will end the season as the second best player on the 76ers.
Second best transition player.
You heard it here first, folks. Jacob Harris thinks Zaire is better than Tobias Harris. Thinks that he is better. No relation. Thinks that he's better than Joel Embiid. That's what I'm talking about. Puff your Texas Tech chest, right?
I heard it.
Be proud.
All righty then.
So I will say, actually, again, it's really weird. I don't know why I'm agreeing with Dylan as much or with Jacob as much. I don't think that he's the second best player on the team like you do, Jacob. but I don't think Zaire Smith's better than Josh Richardson at all. I think Josh Richardson's actually a pretty good player. I don't think he's that good of a defender. And on a team that right now going into the season, they're going to have Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, Al Horford. You don't need that many scores, right? You don't need that many scores. You're going to be fine, right? So having Josh Richardson come off the bench, I think, is best for the 76ers to head up that backup lineup. So if Josh Richardson is your sixth man, your best bet is to start my boy Zaire. So do I think Zaire starts at the beginning of the season? No, I do. But I do think by the time playoffs rolls around, I think that's their best bet is to pull a Steve Kerr, Andre Iguodala move and move Josh Richardson to the bench. Let Zaire Smith start. Let him lock up, Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe from the Bucks. Let him lock up Kyle Lowry and give him another 0 point game. Right. Let him lock up these players. And him and Ben Simmons, like y'all were talking about. Defensively, that's one of the best defensive backcourts in the NBA. Like Ben Simmons can.
The Sixers as a whole is one of the best defensive squads in the league.
Yeah, I mean, just make sure Tobias Harris is covered. But yeah, Sixers. I think the Sixers are probably the second best defensive team, only behind the Clippers, who is like defensive hell for every other team in the NBA. But I think Zaire definitely fits with this team, and chances of him starting are very high. So last but not least. The greatest Red Raider ever, Jarrett Culver. How will he do with the Timberwolves? Jacob, I'll let you go first.
I think, it's hard for me to see him doing great things his first year. I think he'll be a good player. I think he'll be a solid starter/role player. I think he'll probably get on the NBA second team all rookie. I think you'll really see him improve his shot this year. I think you really see him, be the defensive player that everyone knows he can be. But I don't know. I just don't see him thriving too Kobe much with, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, you're such a hater. You know that, Jacob? Man, how are you gonna be on Keenan Evans' hive and then talk mess about Jarrett Culver? How dare you?
Let me say this. My mess isn't with Jarrett Culver. My mess is with Andrew Wiggins single-handedly destroying the Timberwolves organization.
Single-handedly destroying the T-Wolves organization. Dang, man. Single-handedly. Ah, I tell you. All right, Dylan, can you correct some of the things that he's been saying?
I was about to say, here comes the part where you actually agree with me and not Jacob, because Jared Culver is a day one starter on this team. I mean, you look at their guards. Who's going to start over Jared Culver? Nobody. Nobody. Like Jared Bayless? No. And so he's a day one starter, and a day one starter has opportunity, and I think Jared Culver will seize that opportunity. I think second team rookie is a good spot. I like that, Jacob, but I'm higher on Jared Culver. I think he'll be just short of the first team all rookie selection.
All right.
Yeah,
like I said, day one starter, like the opportunity's there, and I just don't see Jared Culver flubbing that opportunity.
Well, see, yeah. I actually agree with you with the fact that he'll be a day one starter.
What are you talking about?
I just don't see him going crazy with Andrew Wiggins on the team.
Jacob. Well, let me tell you, set y'all both straight. All right, let me set you both straight. Jacob, you're actually right about Jared Culver when it comes to his career. Like, I don't think Jared Culver is going to be this star player. I've said that many times. I do not think he's going to be an all-star. I do not think he's going to be, you know, I said his career is going to probably follow the route of Trevor Ariza, right? A guy that you thought could do it, and then you're like, oh, no, he can't. He's good. He has his lane. But I agree with Dylan when it comes to his first year in the NBA. He's going to be a day one starter because the T-Wolves really want him to be a day one starter. Like, if you've looked at T-Wolves social media, they have Jared Culver everywhere. Like, they're already selling out of his jerseys. Like, they have Jared Culver mania. You don't do that for a guy that you're going to try to hide on the bench, right? So, like, and I'm looking at their roster right now. Not only do they not have many guards, they actually have a lot of guards, not a lot of two guards. Like, Jared Bayless is a point. Tyus Jones is a point. Jeff Teague is a point. Right, like
all Tyus Jones is gone.
Yeah, to remember Tyus Jones signed with the Grizzlies.
But okay, so he's gone anyway. But Jeff Teague is a point. CJ Williams is a point. Not a lot of two guards. So that's, I mean, Josh Okogie is actually, funny enough, who they also just picked up. But he's kind of the competition at two, and Culver is better. So there's that. I do think that the lineup you're probably going to see from the T-Wolves next year, you're probably going to see one with Teague, Culver, Wiggins, Covington, and Karl Anthony Towns. He fits right there at the starting two. I think he gels. The way he plays will gel really well with the way the T-Wolves do things. I do think Wiggins is talented, and when he wants to go out for like 25 or 30, he can. He just never wants to do so, right? So, but the way Culver fits with what Wiggins is able to do, right? So that works with them two on the wings. So when Wiggins doesn't want to play defense, which is like 80 of the 82 games in the season, yeah, Culver's there to do it for him, right? So there's that. And because he's going to be a starter from day one, I mean, it's really hard not to get second team all rookie when you're a starter for most of your games. So I expect him to be at least second team all rookie. I don't think he's going to be a star this year, so I won't go much further than that. But stat-wise, I could see him averaging something like 10 points a game, right? 10 points, yeah, that's fair. 6 rebounds, two steals, a steal and a half, 2 steals.
I think his assist numbers will be pretty decent, too.
Yeah, give me like 12, 4, and 4 for Culver.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
That's decent. Well, who's he passing to?
Wiggins. Or no, Towns.
Yeah.
Give it to Towns on the block. Like, I really think Jarrett Culver and Karl Anthony Towns is going to be a very formidable duo in the future. Like, those two guys are going to play perfectly together.
I actually don't. I think that everybody on this team sucks. So there's a chance for Culver, though. There's that. But yeah, everybody on the team sucks.
Karl Anthony Towns sucks.
He got whooped by Clint Capella in a playoff series.
Clint Capella is one of the best interior defenders in the NBA. Yeah. But
if y'all can see my face right now. I can see my face.
You're a Rockets fan. You should know this.
Yes.
I'm a Rockets fan. That's why I know this. All right. Clint Capella, there's no reason if you're Karl Anthony Towns, the number one draft pick in the NBA, that you should be whooped by a guy that right now your GM is ferociously trying to trade him away. Right. So, but anyways, getting back on track here, I do think Culver's going to have a pretty good year this year. Last question before we get off the pod. The pod kind of run a little longer than we expected it to, but just one answer, one word answer. Who has the better season? Zaire Smith, Jared Culver. Go, Dylan.
Zaire Smith.
Go, Jacob.
Smith.
Damn, no love for Jericho. I'm gonna go Culver. Culver's gonna have a better year, right? You know why? Because he's gonna start. He's gonna start before Zaire. So because of that, he has the better season. That's what I'm going off of. Jacob, where can people find you on social media?
They can find me on at JacobHarris55, and also running the Air Raid Podcast Twitter.
That's right. Any bad tweets you see from the Air Raid Podcast Twitter, you know who wrote them. Dylan, where can people find you?
Once again, I don't even want to plug my personal account. Give us a follow at Air Raid Podcast. If it's a good tweet, it was mine.
Possibly. And as always, you can find me at Mr_AlbyShore. I don't really tweet from the Air Raid Podcast account much, but when I do, it's a fire tweet, like absolute fire tweet. So you don't even have to question it. Like, so basically the range it goes, decent tweets, Dylan, mediocre tweets, Jacob, absolute, oh my God, who wrote this tweets, your boy Al.
What's better, decent or mediocre?
See, that's
a good question.
Decent is definitely better than mediocre.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm good with it. All right, continue.
Goodness gracious. Like, for example, the T-Wolves were going to be mediocre, right? The Sixers are going to be pretty decent.
The Sixers are better than decent, but...
Yeah.
You get my point.
Anyways, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. As always, you've been listening to me, I'll be sure, and you've been listening to the guys... And you've been listening to Air Raid Podcast, presented by the Matadors. Like I always say, stay wrecked, folks.